Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people, wherever you live, across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. Boy, we have and I'm saying boy because, man, there's been a good deal of reaction, including by Jake Shields on his Twitter, and many other accounts, and many other aspects of the fact that I stated that I was going to vote for Jill Stein for president. And why? Because Jill Stein, unlike any other so-called major candidate or well-known candidate, has actually stated that, believe it or not, that, in fact, she said this way back in the, just 10 years, 8 years ago, I guess. And she stated that she would end military aid for Israel if she were president of the United States. And this is a bellwether. This is a canary in the mine. This is understanding that it's not just about Israel. What we're talking about in terms of our foreign policy, whether it's our Jewish Secretary of State, Blinken, or whether it's that undersecretary who was there under Republicans and Democrats, Victoria Nuland, Noodleman, actually, or whether it's John Kerry, real name Cohn, and his history and his reign in the State Department, in fact, at the time of the Maidan Revolution, or Joe Biden saying he's a dedicated Zionist and having a cabinet that's the most important positions are Jewish, and the wars we've engaged in, and the policies America has embarked upon, like the open borders policy, which has been something that's been advanced by and bragged upon by the Jewish elite, the major Jewish organizations, who claim that they're the ones who changed American immigration policy. And they themselves, in their own articles, in their own manifestos, say that as a sign of our coming of age, this is from Perlmutter, who was once head of the ADL, as a sign of the Jewish coming of age in America, we now have a demographic in America where white people won't be a majority. And there'll be no possibility of a Nazi government. Now, you understand a Nazi government, according to Jews, is a government of people in European nations, or black nations, or Asian nations, that is not beholden to or subservient to the Jewish globalists, to the Jewish international banking, to the American government, which today is basically a client state of the Jewish global supremacy that exists. The Jerusalem Post article I was referring to a little bit ago was the America I Remember has undergone a facelift. And it's about how that people like myself, Jill Stein, and others mentioned in this article. This is in 2016, this was written. And the subtitle is, on my way to work, I heard former KKK leader. It's always that, right? Why don't we talk about Netanyahu as not a former terrorist, but current terrorist mass murderer. Speak about running for the U.S. Senate on a platform of returning America to its European roots. Now, if that's racist, any Turk that wanted to preserve his Turkish roots, or Greek, or Asian, or Chinese or Jew would be condemned. In the article, by the way, it talks about how the fact that America has been changing, and it brings my name into it because it basically says that I have been a force in changing America. In fact, there's a number of big articles out. Vanity Fair, for instance, the New Yorker just did an article about a new book, which talks about the fact that my race and my winning the House seat in Louisiana, and then later getting a vast majority of the white vote in Louisiana for U.S. Senate in 1990, governorship in 1991, and that this really changed both parties and it began the so-called Republican Revolution. Now, right after they say this, and here's inside the article. On my way to work, I heard former KKK leader speak out running for the U.S. Senate on the platform returning America to European roots and clarifying that Jews are from the Middle East. Well, I clarified that Jews were certainly not people who were advancing the interests of, the heritage of, the values of the European people. In fact, Jews have looked at Europeans, in fact, starting with the Romans, for that matter, and the Greeks, and the Gentiles as enemies. And but anyway, right at the next paragraph says, the Daily News headlines show once unimaginable quotes of politicians debating the Israeli issue, the Israel issue. Recently, Jill Stein, the Green Party's nominee for president of the United States, said that she would end military aid to apartheid Israel. And he goes on to say, the truth is that it's terrifying and nauseating. Anti-Israel rhetoric has become a legitimate mainstream position just recently. And experts have warned that has led the way to blatant anti-Semitism being tolerated. So, Dr. Slattery, are you there, sir?
Yes, I
am. And you found your mic.
Good. I am here. Oh, I am here.
Yep. And anyway, let me just finish this quote now. I just want to make sure you heard this. And experts have been warned that this has led the way to blatant anti-Semitism. This is out of the Jerusalem Post,
prestigious. And this is out of 8 years. Let me clarify. Is that from 8 years ago?
Yeah, 2016.
Wow.
And
all of the blatant anti-Semitism of the past 8 years. Oh, my God.
I think it's time for us to address anti-Semitism for a second, okay? Because today we know now, we now know that anyone who dares to condemn and viciously condemn the genocide, which how can any decent person not viciously condemn the genocide, the mass murder of tens of thousands of children and women, innocents, and the Israeli government openly calling for mass murder, starvation of the people, disease for the people, leaders in the government, that the Israeli government literally supports, and the Israeli members of the Knesset publicly get up and say that Israeli soldiers that rape Palestinian men and others, that should be permitted. That should be permitted to rape Palestinian prisoners. Rape them. Yeah, there's no other government, I think, in the world would say such a thing. So here's the question. If you criticize these incredibly horrible, barbaric behaviors, the Jews, the mass murder that's going on right now, or we talk about hostages all the time from what Hamas did on October 7th, but we don't talk about the currently 20,000 Palestinian prisoners who are held in the dungeons and tortured regularly by Israel, because we have a mass media. But let's look at the word anti-Semitism for a moment. Because, and why is it called anti-Semitism? Well, anti-Semitism is basically saying that Jews are Semitic or whatever, that's their race. Of course, they actually have some differences in Palestinians and other Middle Easterners. So Semite is not even a good term. But what anti-Semitism means, basically, is that Semitism are an anti-Semite is a person that's against Jews or opposed to Jews or who opposes Israel, the Zionist state of Israel, or Jews in any way. Yet, do we not have a media and a government that's extremely anti-Russian and even using those things? Oh, yes, we're against Russia. I mean, we have people like Leslie Graham getting up and saying that they want to kill Russians. Imagine if he got up and said, kill Jews. So if anti-Semitism is being opposed to Jews or, in effect, Jewish power, Jewish organizational power, Jewish ethnocentrism, Jewish racism, Jewish supremacy, Jewish wars, Jewish other influences, negative influences in society. If that's anti-Semitism, then what is exactly the problem? The same Jewish media, same Jewish New York Times is constantly saying things against Russians. And their reasons are specious. They were a lot more friendly to the Soviet Union when it killed 20, 30 million people, which was led by Jews then, by the way, almost exclusively, including people like Lenin, you know, and Trotsky, real name Bronstein. And they killed millions of Christians. They killed 7 to 11 million Ukrainians, mainly children, because those are the first ones that die from the starvation that they engendered. Now, that's not what I say. That's what the United Nations says from a 2003 study of 24 nations. And in fact, they even had a meeting where major historians from 24 different nations of Europe who were experts on what happened to Ukraine during the 1933-34 episode of this purposeful starvation, where the Jewish controlled government of Russia in many ways. And in fact, the Jew that did the Holodomor was in fact none other than Lazar Kaganovich, the deputy premier of the Soviet Union, who was former head of the Communist Party in Ukraine, and he purposely starved his fellow Ukrainians because Jews don't see fellow Ukrainians as allies. In fact, the truth is, if you look at Jewish history and you look at Jewish websites, just go to My Jewish Learning, look up Cossacks and Jews. Cossacks are the national symbol of Ukraine. Cossacks are the national symbol. The same Jerusalem Post I mentioned earlier, that with the mention of me in it and Jill Stein in the same article, is the same Jerusalem Post that did an article by a Jew talking about how he would go back to Ukraine where he lived. And he would go back to Ukraine. One of his main missions when he goes back to Ukraine is to go to the statue of Chelominsky, the patron saint of Ukraine, the Cossack.
Come on.
And to spit at his monument, even risking his life to spit because he so hates Ukrainians. No wonder they're putting hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians into the meat grinder, killing them, especially the right-wing types who are being misled, like we've had Europeans being. And it's so sad to think that Europeans are so dumb, so vapid, that they can't even realize that Jews are constantly dividing and conquering us, getting us to kill each other, rather than, you know, advance our own interests. And that's what's amazing about all this, right? I mean, you have, you know, why in the world would anybody, why in the world would any Ukrainian patriot, especially those who are, quote, anti-Semites, unquote, or so-called Nazis even though I don't think they're really Nazis, they're nationalists and they're Europeans and they're Christians and so forth. But why would anyone suggest that, we got to go, you know, we got to go get in a war against a vastly more powerful country than us, simply because they're just asking us to be independent and not be under NATO and not having NATO and nuclear weapons on our border. I mean, just be neutral, like Austria was agreed to do when they set Austria free. Why in the world would anybody want to see hundreds of thousands of their best young men murdered? Well, I think there's somebody who wants to see those men murdered and sacrificed on this altar of Jewish supremacy, and that's Mr. Blinken. That's Victoria Nuland. That's the Jewish media that hates Russians. They don't care how many Russians they kill. They want to kill as many as they can, and they don't care how many Ukrainians die, just like to the last Ukrainian. There is no bigger and most important question than getting people aware of Jewish power and Jewish supremacy in this country and globally. And I believe that endorsing Jill Stein, that because of my opinion, and I'm the best known, quote, anti-Semite in the world, and I don't consider myself anti-Semitic in the way I don't hate Jews, and I'm not, I don't want to hurt Jews or kill Jews or anything. But I do want every people on earth to be free and independent. And I do not want these Jewish wars, and I don't want these Jewish genocides, and I don't want to sacrifice American lives or any other lives in these wars that they are promoting against the interest of the people of Europe, the people of Russia, the people of the Middle East, the people of the world. And I don't want to live under their dictatorship over the media and the control of the American mind, the way they control Wikipedia, for instance. And the JTA in Israel talks about Wikipedia and how the founder of Wikipedia goes to Israel and says it's a dedicated Zionist. And this is the encyclopedia of the world, and Wikipedia is biased. And you got people like Max Blumenthal, who is here's another Jew I respect, and he talks about how Wikipedia is basically controlled. He can't even go in and offer any evidence when they talk about himself badly on Wikipedia. He can't offer any evidence, just like I can't for my Wikipedia page, because they're controlled by people who are ideologically opposed to people like you and I, Doctor. I'm gonna calm down now for a while, but we'll talk about this endorsement and the reaction to it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you mentioned anti-Semitism. I don't know. I'd like to get a real definition of anti-Semitism, but if it's supposed to be the irrational hatred of Jewish people, I mean, okay, if that's what it is. Well, what about rational
opposition? Hatred is a very charged term, right? Yeah. But I mean,
then you have what is rational opposition to Jewish behavior? What is that? Is that going to be thrown in as anti-Semitism? If it is, and you're saying anti-Semitism is wrong, then you're saying that it's wrong to have any rational opposition to Jewish behavior. Now, regarding your career, I can't imagine anything that anybody could accuse you of ever having said or done that would create more dislike, distaste for Jews than what the Israeli government is currently doing.
For God's sake, right? Yes, that's so true.
Yeah. And you're trying to stop what the Israeli government is trying to do.
But they're saying that anybody that says Israel and Jews, and we talk about Israel, you've got to put that little four-letter word there, you know, Jews, in. Because Israel themselves demands, in fact, their politicians demand, in the American Congress and throughout the world, that you must recognize Israel as a Jewish state. It is a Jewish state. It's dedicated to Jewish people. It is an ethnocentric state. It's an ethno-state, in a sense, the same thing they would criticize white groups for doing because they want to preserve their ethnicity. But, of course, the Palestinians want a Palestinian state, of course. But that's okay, you know. But it's not okay if you oppose Israel as a Palestinian, obviously, and don't want Israel to kill your kids and destroy your land and steal your property and do all these horrific things. Then it's not okay for you to, you know, that you simply want to preserve your Palestinian heritage, your traditions, your values, your people, your very existence on earth. That is not, to me, that is not racism. What racism and supremacy is all about, that's why I can use the term Jewish supremacism, and that's why I titled a book by that name, Jewish Supremacism, is because supremacism is not so much a people simply wanting to preserve themselves and have their own nation in a sense that they are a majority because of the situation it's been for a long time. And they want to preserve their way of life, and they want to preserve their rights in their own country. They want their freedoms of speech and thought. They don't want to live as subservient slaves to another foreign entity that controls them, like America basically does. We have our Jew tax every year. Guess what? These billions of dollars going to Israel right now? They're saying now it's 18 to 20-something billion dollars in bombs and murderous weapons that are killing Palestinian men, women, and children. You know what that is, doctor? I call that a Jew tax. That's a Jew tax. Because they're the ones who are controlling our Congress. They're the ones who control our politicians. And when I say this, this is not some sort of quote-unquote anti-Semitic rhetoric. Because I can prove the biggest billionaire contributors to both the biggest, most important contributors of both parties. And so much, you know, we can't even talk about media right now, but what they're talking about politics. The biggest contributors, so Hillary Clinton, 18 of the 20 biggest billionaire contributors for Hillary Clinton were Jews. The three mm-hmm. biggest contributors for Donald Trump were Jews.
Well, regarding the Jew tax.
And eight of the nine biggest contributors of Biden were Jewish Zionists who are dedicated to Jewish organizations and Jewish interests.
Yeah.
I mean, so, this is not an anti-Semitic canard. It's true.
No, and how about this? So Jeffrey Sachs was on with Judge Andrew Napolitano yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, it's not just this war that Benjamin Netanyahu is desperately trying to get the Americans to fight for him against Iran, but that Israel in general, but Benjamin Netanyahu in particular, as a prime minister, or for a while he was Ariel Sharon's foreign minister, or, you know, he's been leader of the opposition. He's been a big figure forever. That he, more than anyone else, was responsible for dragging the United States into the war against Iraq in 2003. He was responsible more than anyone else for dragging the United States into war in Syria, a kind of covert war, but the covert war in Syria.
And Jews were responsible in American government and in Israel for supporting the rise of ISIS, what was supposed to be the greatest threat in the world. And yet they literally supported ISIS and said they wanted ISIS to win in Syria.
He talks about that as well. And so, you know, if you mention what you called it, a Jew tax, a tax for supporting Israel's expansion. Because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to dominate the Middle East and expand. This goes way beyond the $80 billion or whatever for this current genocide. You're talking about many trillions of dollars.
And the genocide and the biggest genocide of the Russo-Ukraine war is the people of Ukraine. That's the biggest genocide of all. And the interesting thing is, again, when I say this, when I say that Jewish literature, Jewish heritage, Jewish values, Jewish articles, Jewish websites, Jewish leaders have a ritual hatred of Ukrainians and Cossacks. Just like I quote in the Jerusalem Post, imagine some Jew hates Ukrainians so much that he's got to go spit on their national hero's monument, even at risk maybe of his life because he hates them so much, right? The Cossacks. He's got to go, and this is after the war started, right? He's got to go to Ukraine, even though the Ukrainians are doing what they want them to do, to go fight and die against Russians. He goes there, and he's got to go make sure he spits on the Ukrainian, you know, flag in effect, the Ukrainian ethos, the Ukrainian mythos and everything. He's got to spit on them. And then he writes it in an article that he goes, I got to go spit on the statue of these Ukrainians. You look up things like My Jewish Learning, and they show you these pictures of these old paintings or something of Jews, you know, Jews during war that were beheaded by the Cossacks. And then you have articles even in things like Foreign Policy, which is an organization. The CFR has been, the Council on Foreign Relations, been controlled by Jews for years, for the times of Kissinger's and Kahn and many others. But they literally, in Foreign Policy magazine, talk about when Zelensky got elected, how, boy, this is really hilarious, because the anti-Semitic Ukrainians have elected a Jew to be their president and to be their both the prime minister and their president. I mean, it's amazing. The only country has done that.
even though Ukrainians are a bunch of anti-Semites. Isn't this funny? Isn't this great, right? I mean, this Jewish ethnocentrism is unbridled, and it's like we can't even talk about it, and we can't even reveal it. And, of course, we've had anybody that looks, we know that the Russiagate was a bunch of big lies. The Russian, look, Russian was supposed to be interfering in American elections. Yeah, we had Jews and Jews and more Jews suppress the Hunter Biden laptop. And the Jewish media establishment, including Google, including Facebook, including other major media, Twitter at the time, suppressed the facts that the Hunter Biden laptop was real, which was obviously real from the beginning, because they wanted their candidate, the self-admitted pro-Zionist Biden, and self, you know, and definitely completely dominated in terms of the fundraising by Jews. And they saw Trump at that time as a danger because he said things like he wanted to abolish NATO. But, they wear their hatred on a sleeve. Everything is turned upside down, Doctor. I mean, before the Second World War, we had Jewish publications in this country, in the New York Times, reviewed in the New York Times, like Germany Must Perish. And this publication, right in its foreword, says a volume dedicated to the complete destruction of the German nation, and this is before America got into the war, and an eradication of the German people, 80 million people, nation, calling for their death, for their destruction. This was called by the New York Times a great proposal. The New York Times is a Jewish publication. And again, every time we talk about the lies of the New York Times, nobody ever in mainstream media, or even most people in even alternative media, ever talk about the fact, well, of course, the New York Times is lying. It's run by a bunch of Zionist Jews. It's owned, literally, lock, stock, and barrel in terms of who makes the decisions at the time. It's the Class B stockholders. It's five Jewish racist supremacist supporters of the State of Israel and Jewish causes, whatever they may be, and they support everything, including censorship for people like yourself and I and many others. And that's why I endorsed, and I think you endorsed, Jill Stein. For one thing, that my endorsement of her also kind of, because I'm doing this and I'm stating it's because I'm going to vote for a Jew for president, because I'd rather have a Jewish person who's president who helps people understand that Israel is a horrific criminal state. And by doing that, I'm also helping people understand that Israel, that when they tell us things like Israel's a client state of America, or like Biden says, oh, if we didn't have an Israel, we'd have to create one. No. We never needed to support Israel. The Arab countries always had land where the real oil was, and the resources, and the population, and all the interesting United States trade policies. Everything else that's important to us. Suezka, everything, right? So why in the hell would we support this tiny little Zionist state? Why? And alienate the entire Middle East? That's the only reason why we would need an ally in the Middle East is because our support, our vicious and vile support with our money of Israel. And then the last thing I want to mention again, this, I'm going to reiterate this, is so important. You mentioned these wars and Jeffrey Sachs. You know, $20-something billion we've been sending Israel, and $80 billion we've been sending to Ukraine for these Jewish wars, to make sure that, you know, that people are massacred. Like and who are the biggest people that are dying? It's the Ukrainians, Russians, and it's Palestinians. And these wars that we're fighting, with the Ukraine war that you just mentioned, the Iraq war we talked about, and the Afghanistan war, and this whole Jewish neocon alignment in Europe. How much has this cost us? What was the latest figures you have, Doctor? And I've read a whole bunch of different figures about this from major sources, economists, and other people. I've heard the figure, they used to say it was a $3 trillion war. And then you look at all the complicated processes that are veterans that are suffering from the effects of the war and all the different costs of the war associated with the cost and many other things. And now they're saying, many people are now saying it's a $5 trillion war. $5 trillion because these Jewish neocons, as Heretz talks about, it's called the white man's burden, which was facetious, but they talk about the fact that entirely Jewish neocons brought us into this war in terms of the politics. And we got to remember that the Jewish media also cheerleaded this whole thing. $5 trillion it cost us. That's a hell of a lot more than the money that is contributed to candidates because of AIPAC endorsements or whatever, because when they call up their Jewish billionaires and get them to vote in elections. $5 trillion! My God! That's enough to give people, everybody, health care in this country. Free, basically.
Well, yeah. I remember probably close to 20 years ago, maybe it was 18 years ago, back in the aughts, seeing an economist, I think he won a Nobel Prize, last name is Stiglitz. He's a Jewish guy. He was on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, who's a Jewish woman. And he had calculated what the cost of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars were as of whatever year that was, 2006 or 2008, whatever it was. And it was already a couple trillion. I think it was at that point 2 trillion. But you know what's gone on since then? The Iraq war continued. The Afghanistan war. We were in Afghanistan until 2 years ago. Or was it 2 years or 3 years ago?
No.
And then you think of, you mentioned the human cost. We had, for, I'm not sure what it is currently, but for years and years, you were having an average of 19 servicemen or former servicemen commit suicide every single day. You know, 19, that comes to about, 7,000 a year? And 7,000 a year over many, many years. I mean, we lost tens of thousands of people to suicide.
How many, and this like over the decades, how many millions of marriages, hundreds of thousands at least, but how many marriages have broken up because of the long separations and the stresses that go there? I mean, that's just one small cost. But when you think about these insanities, and another good example, let's just take the hurricane, the last two hurricanes we've had. And I've read some figures in the paper saying it's at least $100 billion of damage. People lost their businesses they worked for their whole lives. They were successful people. They were hiring people, hiring Americans, paying their salaries, supporting their living, their education, everything else, their families entirely, and the education of their families and their communities, right? Businesses were lost. Individual people lost their homes. A lot of them didn't have flood insurance. A lot of people had terrible suffering in so many ways. I mean, $100 billion, $200 billion. I mean, you realize that when we talk about $110 billion in terms of to what's going on right now in Ukraine or what's going on in Israel, supporting them with all the weapons of mass murder, I should say. And when we talk about that, I mean, it's like, my God, that money is not really, the government's not going to go bail out all the people with businesses that were lost and destroyed, and schools that were lost and destroyed, taxpayers' money, and taxes are already high for the actual middle class. They're not going to say, we're going to go rebuild those for you free. No, we're going to send that to Israel so they can kill more Palestinian children. I mean, that's what we're saying every day here. The reason I endorsed Jill Stein and you did, because by my endorsing her, now, some people might say, well, you're trying to hurt her or whatever. You know, I've read this one thing that said, oh, Duke's been a Fed. He's always been a Fed. Yeah, oh, yeah. They love, I tell you, the federal government loves people who are exposing Jewish supremacism, even though Jewish supremacism is the biggest contributors to the federal government. And I'm telling the truth about that. And we have Jews now even in the world, and also other people who understand that the real problem is not just, it's not just Jews, it's Jewish supremacism. It's Jewish power. It's Jewish supremacy over us, right? And I wrote a book by that title. And I'm the one that popularized that. Oh, that those Jews, man, that Jewish establishment, they really, the federal government really, really hates David Duke to get up there. And by the way, if I had all these insiders, if I was part of the establishment, if I was a Fed or whatever they want to say I am, all right, well, how in the world would, if they thought my books were good books, right? If they thought that what I was saying was stuff that was beneficial to them, so why would I be banned from Amazon? I mean, I was a bestseller for Amazon for a long time. Why would I be banned now? Because what is it about my books that demand I be banned? And in fact, why in the hell I've gone through 25, 30 different credit card processes, and every time the Jews put pressure on the credit card companies and the Jewish establishment and the American government, when I went and I opposed the Iraq war, I knew from the very beginning it was a lie. I went on television across the United States, across Europe, across the world, and I said that all the evidence is very clear. There are no weapons of mass destruction. We had inspectors on the ground in Iraq for 11 months. They were allowed to go wherever they wanted. They were offering a $24 million reward for any Iraqi, and there had to have been thousands of Iraqi soldiers and just people, right, that had to, you know, bury these or hide these weapons of mass destruction, right, in Iraq, if this was true that Saddam didn't destroy the weapons of mass destruction. And not a single person came up to get the $24 million and live a life of luxury. I think practically any American practically betray America, unfortunately, for somebody offered them $24 million, you know. And a new life in Switzerland or something, you know. It's like, and then when I went on Al Jazeera about this, explaining this, and this was went around the world, it was aired on Ramadan. When I went on Al Jazeera, the United States State Department tried to threaten Al Jazeera to say, if you had David Duke on, we're gonna cancel your credentials to the White House. Al Jazeera courageously said, look, yeah, we need credentials for the White House, obviously, we're an international news network, but how could David Duke be on Meet the Press years ago, running for office? How could he be interviewed, and we can't interview him? And they fought back against that. The government went after me politically. They went after me for political, you know, typical tax-type charges, just like they go after, like, Republicans or other people. And I was the guy, and if you look at Vanity Fair's article about David Duke, they got in the article saying that who changed the Republican Party? How did this really change? Changed, it said, when David Duke won that state house seat in Louisiana in 1989, got elected to the House of Representatives against all opposition, where the President of the United States came out and opposed, supported other people against David Duke, right? The Vice President of the United States, the governor, all the establishment. But David Duke was talking about these issues. And David Duke's one of those anti-Semites that dares to talk about Jewish power. Yeah, if Jews really have the power, which we can prove, if that's the case, if that's real, you know, why is it that they do everything they can to stifle? Why can't I get on Twitter? Why can't I get back on Twitter, even though I've never said a hateful thing on Twitter? I've just told the truth, and if anybody, I'm opposed to the genocide of Israel. So this is kind of crap, but when they have the narrative, they can say, well, Tucker Carlson repeated that stuff. I just believe it's a fact. Didn't offer any evidence. Sorry, Tucker. I forgive you for that, because I know that we're all living in this milieu. We're living in this swamp of propaganda and lies that even the people on our side, we self-censor ourselves. Literally. I'm a Fed because I exposed the insane wars in America. Everything that Tucker Carlson now thinks that he didn't used to think, he was once a supporter for the Iraq war. When he was supporting the Iraq war, I was opposing it. Now he agrees it was wrong. Everything he talks about, the great replacement theory, is not a theory, it's a fact. Europeans are being replaced intentionally by the elite of our country that's replacing the elite of America, the media, they did a long time ago, replace the media of America, the banking establishment of America, the political establishment of America, the same way Jewish migration itself specifically replaced Palestinians. Once they controlled the media and the politics and the money of politics, they literally, that's what's causing the problems for Palestinians. It's not white supremacists in America. It's because America doesn't have a government in the interest of the vast majority of American people. America was a 90% white country when I was in college. Anyway.
So, just getting back to Jill Stein, I've been voting for third parties most of my life, and the prospects of her actually moving into the White House are, we can just say, relatively remote, but that doesn't mean it's a way to vote. In fact, it is a very...
Of all things, there are people cutting the grasses right outside my window right now. I apologize for the extraneous sound,
okay.
Folks.
That's fine. I've got, I'm walking past deer with dogs, so you might hear a little bit in my background as well.
Gotcha.
But the thing is, it's a very valuable vote. She's made herself very clear that this is her issue. So it's a very clear protest vote. Now, what's it a protest vote against? It's a protest vote against Israel's genocide and efforts to drag us into a war. And they are trying to drag us into a war, and they may very well drag us into a war before Election Day, even within these next 3 weeks. Judge Napolitano was referencing some article that was it from a reliable source or not, who knows, but that Netanyahu has already approved plans to attack Iran before the election in such a way that it will guarantee an Iranian response. This is what he wants. And Jill Stein has offered her candidacy as a clear protest vote against this. I think it's extremely valuable and important. And just, like I said, I voted for third parties most elections in my life. I started coming on this show a little over 12 years ago. So when I was new to this show, that was actually during the 2012 election. That was between Obama and Romney. My recollection is we both disliked Obama and Romney and probably considered Obama slightly the lesser of two evils. But I don't remember who you said you voted for. You know who I voted for in 2012? I voted for Jill Stein. She was running in 2012. I voted for her in 2012. So,
well, I was interested running across this article from 2016 with my name's in the subtitle. The article is really about how America has changed because of people like me, which I think it's true. And but also mentioned Jill Stone and Stein in the next breath is David Duke. So let's just talk about voting, and let's talk about the politics of psychology in terms of the public. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about it that way. And so there's all sorts of reasons to cast a certain vote, and there's all sorts of reason to endorse or support someone. Now, I think Jeffrey Sachs, he supported Jill Stein, and he now says he's going to vote for president of the United States. Yes, all that's true. I think the noise is going to dissipate in a minute here. And he knows that Jill Stein doesn't really have much chance to win, but he's trying to make a statement. What he's trying to do is to capitalize on and focus on her positions, such as against the Ukraine war, as against the anti-Russianism, against the genocide and the policies of Israel, and basically the Jewish hijacking of the American government. Now Jill Stein's not going to call it that, but anybody that's honest about it knows it. It's not even an Israeli lobby. It's just like Finkelstein. I saw Finkelstein yesterday, Norman Finkelstein, the great academic, historian, interesting guy. He wrote The Holocaust Industry talking about, and he says in there, and the Holocaust industry, why there's so many lies about it and so many misrepresentations, it's no wonder there are people that are deniers.
I'm not going to say I'm a denier. I'm not going to say I don't agree with anything of the Holocaust. I think there were terrible atrocities that took place in the Second World War. But do I trust a situation where people, do I trust the situation when historians who dare to refute that have their career destroyed? Or they go to jail because they offer evidence on the other side of the Holocaust issue? You know, how can we? How can we know about anything? So I'm not going to flat out say there was no Holocaust. I'm not going to do that. And I can't even go to Europe if I do that. I can't even express myself. So I'm not going to do that. But I can say that if anybody is not educated to the fact of Jewish political power and media power and making lies and promoting lies and disinformation about the world and about Palestine, look at what's going on in Israel today. The Israeli government has been murdering journalists. They don't allow any independent journalists now to go, if they can, into Gaza unless they know that they're on the side of, you know, of Israel and Zionism, because they don't want anybody reporting the horrors truly to the people around the world. They're bombing media offices, including Al Jazeera and others. And it's just, Israel just continues to get away with this crap. So they were talking again. He had a very interesting show yesterday, or at least they were aired the last couple of days ago, Norman Finkelstein. And he says Israel is a lunatic state. That Israel is, in fact, he said, he says he's got to be careful. His mama said, you got to be careful because, you know, don't forget we're Jews, you know. And he says, how in the world can I not say what the Jewish state's doing is evil? I mean, it's the ultimate evils. Murder, mass rape, murder, assault, torture, mass murder of men, women, and children. How can we not admit that? Mm-hmm. How can we not even use mm-hmm. those kind of words? And he says, and then he has a Jewish friend that says, hey, you got to slow down. You can't say these things. But then he says, how can I not say these things?
Right.
Because it's so obvious.
People like Jeffrey Sachs and Norman Finkelstein and Jill Stein, they're in this really difficult position because they see and recognize that not just Israel, but Israel's supporters in the United States,
right,
who are first and foremost Jews, that it's all gone off the rails. And by saying nothing and letting it happen, I mean, what could possibly create more of a backlash against Jews than letting the Israelis and the neocons and the various parts of the Jewish power structure in the United States, let them have their way, and there's guaranteed to be either a massive backlash or maybe the destruction of the planet. And that's what Jeffrey Sachs keeps emphasizing.
Oh God, yes.
Is the destruction of the planet, which could happen at any time at the rate we're going. So just one last thing. I just want to really quickly say, we've got this election coming up. We've got the campaign. We've got the voting on November 5th. Very likely.
People are voting right now, absentee.
Right. People are already voting. After November 5th, very likely there's going to be a big brouhaha about who really won what state. There's going to be pressure on electors to switch their vote one way or another. The electors vote on December 15th. After that, there's going to be big brouhaha on whether the electoral votes, like there was 4 years ago, like there was 8 years ago, whether the electoral votes should be accepted by, you know, at Congress. If people voted, there's these faithless electors. We had eight years ago, there were seven electors who didn't vote for either Clinton or Trump. That very well could happen again. And it's even possible, we haven't had this happen for about 200 years, but it's very possible that this could get thrown into the House of Representatives. Representatives, and they could be they would have to choose between the three top vote getters, which would be presumably Harris and Trump and whoever else might get voted for by a faithless elector.
Votes, hopefully, yeah.
Oh my goodness, it just could be complete chaos. And so
we're out of time.
To have a clear protest vote against the insanity of the war and the genocide is a good way to get some momentum going towards forcing one way or another our political elite to back away from this.
Look, I voted for Trump originally because he said he was America first. Put America first. In fact, abolish NATO. We don't need NATO. Be friends with Russians. Be friends with Europeans. Be friends with the world. Don't do all these things, right? And also protect our borders and our lands and our values and all those things that are important. Now, he says he's going to put Israel first. He literally got up among these Jews in Washington, D.C., and said, quote, he said, bring me money. I'll do exactly what you want. He will sell his soul and sell out this country because they're going to give him some money, these Miriam Adelson and all these Jews. You bring me money, I'll deliver. I'll get America into war. I'll do anything, right? I'll do whatever you want. That I cannot vote for. But I tell you, I can endorse someone because I think that brings attention to the issues, underlying issues that I talk about and that she talks about in terms of Jewish power. Because without the Jewish power, you wouldn't have the thing going on in Israel. You wouldn't have these wars. You wouldn't have the Ukraine war. You wouldn't have so many different aspects of destruction of our society. And that's what we must address. Folks, support me, Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70471. And also go to my Gab at Real David Duke and my Odyssey. Watch my old videos, my Odyssey. At Gab at Real David, excuse me, at Odyssey at Real David Duke. Bye-bye now.